Chapter 66. Jesse sat in his office with Nicholas Ognoski sitting hugely on a chair in the corner. Suit and Eddie Cox brought Normie into Jesse's office. There was a bloody-looking welt on one side of his forehead. "Banged his head," Suit said, "when he was getting into the squad car."
"My lawyer's gonna hear about this," Normie said.
He eyed Ognoski, who was silent and motionless. "Sit," Jesse said. Suit steered Normie to the chair, and he sat. Suit went and leaned against the door jamb. "You need me, Jesse?" Cox said. Jesse shook his head, and Cox disappeared. "Who's this guy?" Normie said, and nodded at Ognoski. Jesse took a tape recorder out of his desk drawer and placed it on the desk in front of Normie.
"What's that for?" Normie said. "You think I'm gonna make some kind of statement?"
Jesse pushed the play button, and Natalia Ognoski's recording began to play. It took Normie a little time to realize what it was. When he did, he seemed paralyzed by it. The tape rolled on in all its remorseless banality.
"I killed someone, two someones, right in town," he said.
"In paradise?"
"Absolutely," Normie said. "You probably read about it in the papers."
"The two men on Paradise Neck?"
"Bingo," Normie said. "I do not believe that," Natalia said. "Ognoski," Normie said, "and Moynihan."
In the corner, Nicholas Ognoski made a sound like a sigh. Jesse held his hand up toward him. Normie seemed to get smaller in his chair.
"We got you, Normie," Jesse said. "That lying bitch," he said.
"She's Petrov Ognowski's widow," Jesse said.
"Jesus," Normie said.
"And the large gentleman in the corner is Petrov Ognowski's father."
"What's he doing here?" Normie said. "I have come," Nicholas said, "to look at the man who killed my son."
His voice sounded like it had rumbled up from hell.
"I see him again," Nicholas said. "I will know him."
"I was just following orders," Normie said.
"You can tell us about that. Might help you a little," Jesse said. "I can't snitch," Normie said.
"Why not?"
"They'll kill me."
"Who?"
"You know what they do to snitches in jail," Normie said.
"You want to take the jump on this one yourself?" Jesse said.
"I just done what I was told," Normie said.
"Juries love that, killing two people because someone told you to. I'm guessing life, no parole." Normie shook his head. In a small voice, he said, "I want a lawyer." Jesse glanced at Nicholas, then looked back at Normie.
"You don't need one," Jesse said. "You're free to go."
"Huh?"
"You're free to go," Jesse said. "Beat it."
"You're not arresting me?"
"Nope," Jesse said. "Take a walk."
Normie stood up carefully, as if he'd been ill and was just recovering. In the corner, Nicholas Ognoski stood up. Normie glanced at him.
"What's he doing?" Normie said.
"I guess he's leaving, too."
Normie took a step toward the door, and Nicholas moved to follow. Normie stopped. He looked at Ognoski, then at Jesse.
"You're letting me and him go out together?"
"Sure," Jesse said.
You can't do that."
"Sure I can," Jesse said.
He's... "For God's sake, man! I don't even have a piece."
"I'm not interested in fucking around with this," Jesse said. "You roll over on Reggie and the girls, in which case I keep you here. Or you refuse and stroll off into the sunset with Mr. Ognoski."
Ognoski was standing next to Normie now. He seemed to take up most of the room. Jesse could smell his sweat and whatever strong he'd had for lunch. Normie didn't look at him. Jesse wasn't sure. It might just have been breathing. But it sounded like a low growl. Might have come from deep in Ognoski's chest. Normie turned away and came back to Jesse's desk and sat back down in the chair.
"What do you want to know?" he said.